Instead of, I have some things to talk about, but instead of starting with that, I thought if you guys had any questions, my idea was to think about, you know, popular shilohs that come up in camps, which we did some of it, of course, this year, but I thought if you guys had any questions, obviously, I don't know if I can answer all of them, but I think that would be a good start. Yeah.
What are the hetairim for half the guys who are not walking on the shirt to keep us?
Okay, so it's to shut off the thing. shirts meaning no tzitzis, right?
Yeah, shirts like shirtless.
Because of tzitzis is your question? Or guys shouldn't work around? Sneeze? What's the answer?
All of it.
Okay, let's start with the yarmulke. That's the easiest one. So as you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein's first tshuva, in all of Igros Moshe, I believe, he quotes Rav Shlomo Kluger, who discusses what is the concept of wearing a yarmulke. We know that yarmulke stands for Yoreh Malka, right? To fear heaven. And that's the concept. The concept is Baruch Hashem, we're supposed to, and this will go into your shirt, Shiloh, we're supposed to have a special uniform, right? We're considered to be, long before Lubavitch, we're considered to be Tzivos Hashem. We're a part of Hashem's army. We spoke about, I think, 2 weeks ago, the Rambam's famous, actually I saw it quoted in this week's parsha as well, the Rambam's famous in Shemitah V'Yovel that we are considered to be Melechas Koinim Magoi Kadosh, that we are Shevet Levi now. Lo Shevet Levi Bovad, the Rambam famously said. We're considered to be like Kohanim nowadays. We have to take over the task. So the Charedim take this Rambam and they use it as, it was to be like Shevet Levi and just sit and learn Torah. It doesn't seem like the Rambam's talking about that. If you look at the other Rambams, he's clearly it's not the biggest fan of Kolo, you know, you have to support yourself. But clearly we have to be on a different level. So that involves our dress. One very simple way of doing that is being Yoreh Malka. It's interesting. And I mean it that way. I have a number of Arab workers who work now in our company, and they often like to ask questions. So I give it to somebody else because I'm not sitting and learning Torah with a bunch of Arabs from Syria, you know. Like, but she asked me. She says she wears a kafia. So she says to me often. She's like, "Oh, your kafia is not straight," you know. So I'm like, so I said to her, "How come the men don't wear?" She goes, "Oh no, but most men, more women in the Arab." So it's a whole different concept of, you know, what they consider to be quote unquote sneeze and that. Our idea is supposed to be, and this affects men more than women. Talking about question and answer, last week I had a question and answer with the girls. So like we started off, anybody have any questions? And the girl raised her hand and she says, "How dare you say the bracha of Shlo Asani Yisha?" Right? And I was like, "Oh God, is this going to be the first question?"
That's not a question.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So the answer is, I'm sorry, I'm going, just so we're aware, this is going to be my usual ADD tangent shear. But the answer is it's all wrapped around the same thing. But the answer is that the role of men and women are very, very different. And that is the reason, actually, that a woman does not have to cover her hair. She covers her hair when she's married, but that's something somewhat different. Not that much different, but somewhat different. The Yoreh Malka idea is that men are much more gashmius-oriented. Therefore, the Bracha of Shlos on Isha says, listen, Hashem created me as a man. I could be in a very bad state being a man and having all the Yetzirah and so forth. The Rebbeinu Shlom created me with mitzvahs, different mitzvahs that women don't have to do. So thank you for that. But we believe that women is on a higher level. The truth is, the women's bracha is she'asana kirtzono. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, I created you kirtzon, like my ratzon, which clearly is not saying about the men. So clearly they're created on a higher level. But okay, that's Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's pshat on that. He doesn't understand why people misunderstand the bracha. That being said, so we're much more physical people. And once, especially us, we decide to dress in the same way as Goyim, basically. I know most Goyish here. You know, thank you. My Friday polo day, and listen. So we have to do something to hivdilanu minatoyim, and yarmulke is a very good way of doing that. Even though Rav Moshe clearly says that it's a minhag, it's established as a minhag. We know that we have many things that were established as minhagim that have created, like Torah. If you want to take strictly the Chassam Sofer's interpretation, Siddhis Daraisa he writes, right? If we don't do a minhag in the appropriate way, you could violate it as a deraisa. It goes the other way too. Some service says if you have a minhag shtus, so that's, you know, the minhag is the same letters as gehenna. You know, it leads you to gehenna. It could lead you to a really bad place if you're doing the wrong thing. You know, if people take on hanhagas toivus as, no, this is a minhag, it's a halacha, calm down, let's figure out what everything is. Yes, it's true that in certain situations we'd be matir. I once unfortunately had a business trip to Jordan, And I was advised by people who travel there all the time, do not wear a yarmulke there. You don't want to start getting involved with the yarmulke. So the problem was that to wear a baseball hat at a professional meeting is not professional. So
black hat.
Right. Black hat is okay. It's interesting because you say the black hat. It's interesting because the way that it used to be back when we were much more professional, and so back in the 60s, you would have to take your hat off to go into a public building, especially a government building. So you couldn't go to court with a black hat on, and that became the shiloh with wearing yarmulkes. There are certain work situations, as discussed, and I know Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was asked this question, and someone who's a Talmud of Rav Aaron told me the story. He's a doctor, and he said Rav Aaron advised me not to wear a yarmulke at work. So that seems strange on the outset, and that was, again, he was talking in the 80s. He said, because, you know, God forbid if I did something wrong, being a doctor, malpractice, but, so I, you know, b'chvoid, my Rebbe, I am so infinite compared to him. I think nowadays we want to be Mekadosh Hashem, and we want that reminder all the time of that. Is there a heter maybe if your yarmulke is falling off or this, that, the other? Yeah, of course. If you're going to a place that's dangerous, of course it's a heter, and you can't wear a hat. I don't see why you can't wear a hat. But there are certain places, like my Jordan example. So I had the problem because I was literally had a meeting for 8 hours. I have to have something to drink, something, you know? So it's funny, in Jordan, they don't have Diet Coke. They have Coke Light. Because some Arab guy from the Arab countries, he sued Coke and won millions of dollars because he said, I've been drinking Diet Coke for years and I haven't lost any weight. Really? So they had to call it Coke Light. Anyway, so it's Coke Light. And it was turned out, whatever, I looked into it and they said I could have it in kosher. So what do you do with the bracha? So I thought maybe to wear something small like a babit. No, I was advised that you make a bracha, try your best to put something on, you know, on your head. So I did. It was a very strange thing. You know, I took out a napkin and you know, was wiping my face, and then I quickly put it on my head for a second. I was, you know, whatever. Probably looked weird. But that's the appropriate thing to do. It's true that there are some, specifically in the Syrian community, again, probably was based historically on where they lived, that they didn't wear yarmulkes because it was very scary to wear yarmulkes in those days. And they only wear yarmulkes, you know, when they're making brachos and things like that. It's clearly not the minhag. And there wouldn't be a heter in camp. There has to be. Listen, it's. I think with any camp, it's a top-down approach. If the counselors, number one, are wearing yarmulkes, but number two, I happened to be at Meiriv last night. I came back late to camp, and I thought there would be a 9:45 Meiriv, but I was told there wouldn't be. So I begged to find out when. So finally, I saw a bus letting out. I'm crazy with minyanim, even though I'm going to be dude for a week. I have a little minion problem. So I found them at whatever. It doesn't matter which division it was, but I was very upset about the Meiriv. And I saw one counselor there. I was pretty sure it wasn't wearing a yarmulke. So I'm unfortunately not a type of person who could keep myself quiet. I called him over and I said, besides the fact you're talking during the whole dominant, but you got to leave. So you got to go up to cameras and say, what are you doing? Is there a hazard playing basketball? You always have this thing. I don't like this out there. My children don't always paskin like me. So they play basketball before. And my kids play in, you know, Maccabi or whatever, and Beit Shemesh, and, you know, sometimes it's that it falls off, and it's that. Okay, so there's a little bit more. But as a policy, we have to tell them that they have to do that. As far as not wearing a shirt, I happen to wholeheartedly agree with you. We generally have a concept that sneus is a concept that's related only to girls, right? That's what we think. Right, and we say, "Oh, it's terrible in camp. There should be the short skirts, and God knows what else." But sneis applies to men as well. And there's a question of how a Jewish boy should dress. I don't think there's a question of not wearing a shirt is not a way to dress. Again, a boy takes a shirt off, he's allowed to go swimming without a shirt. I don't think that's necessary. Some people don't want to be, but I don't think that that's the laws of sneis. I don't believe that at all. But now they're gonna. First of all, as far as the PC side of everything, I don't know if shirts and skins is an appropriate game, you know, nowadays anyway. I don't know, but I don't think so. But yeah, boys shouldn't walk around without their shirts on. I think that's a lack of sneus. I think that's not appropriate. Again, some would say that I'm wrong the way I dress. I happen to be that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was not a big polo shirt fan. And I remember I always used to try to remember to wear, I think my father told me that he used to wear a suit to shir when my father was in shir. I wasn't going to do that, but I always remembered to wear a button-down shirt. Once in a while, so Rav Aaron, I used to be the official davener for the Yomid. So he would look at me, Dov, do you have a jacket? So I said, yeah, I have a davener jacket. Rav Aaron told me to wear a Begad Miyuchah for Tefillah. He's got a davener jacket. He says, okay, you can daven the Yomid. So he thought it wasn't appropriate. He thought it was too much like a... Yes, there is a law called Chukasim Lo Seilechem, right? Chukas Agoy. Yes, it's a pasuk, and the question is, how do you define it? Rav Moshe Feinstein defined it as any dress that. Well, let's go back to the Rama. The Rama defines it as big de pritzos, which is interesting. He actually gives the example of a red garments that women wear. So there are many people who say, "Oh, you can't wear red at all." I don't think he's talking about that. Something that's alluring. It could be the most sneeriest thing in the world, but if it's an alluring thing by nature, so that would be Chukasim Lo Seilechem. That's according to the Rama. He quotes famously the Maharik. The Maharik was asked the question about doctors. Doctors, this is hundreds of years ago, doctors were in hospitals, and in the hospitals, they had a problem. They would go up, they go, "We need a doctor. Are you a doctor?" "No." "Are you a doctor?" So they finally said, "Let's come up with something where we know who the doctors are." So they came up with this idea of wearing a white cape, right? Superman, you know, being a, you know, he's a doctor, wow, you know. Nowadays we have that too. We have a white coat that they wear. It's interesting because that's not, many hospitals don't do that anymore. I used to have this chus of doing Bikur Cholim in Holy Name Hospital in Tina. I think it was like once a month. And whenever I would go there, there was a priest that was there, and he was 100% sure, because I was firm wearing a yarmulke, I was a doctor, because he saw me all the time. So he'd be, "Doctor, how are you?" "Doctor." I felt good about myself. I'm like, "Some Lechem." I go, "Rabbi Doctor, by the way." No, I didn't say that. And I was afraid, though, that one time he'd be like, "Doctor, there's an emergency here, come." And I'd be like, "All right, I'm not really a doctor, sorry." But so the Maharik says to wear the white cape, it's not, he says, it's a shemetz of avodah zarah. It was done for a goyisha reason. So that's awesome. But this is not being done for any reason. So Rav Moshe takes this idea and he says, if there's good reason to wear clothes, it's comfortable, whatever it might be, it's mutter. Specifically, he's talking about why does a suit become something? It's a strange thing. Why do we wear suits on Shabbos? What is, you know, nothing? No. He says, okay. That's where the minhag was. It's interesting because obviously you point to, you know, Hasidus dress. So it's interesting because the minchas chinuch, we know the Hasidus dress is based on the 1600s. Nobility used to wear this, or there's different stories. It depends who you, or no nobility would wear it. It would be the peasants. It doesn't matter. But anyway, Strangel has nothing to do with the Hadus at all, right? So so it's true that I think it's a minchas chinuch who writes that as long as you're wearing last season's model or last year's model, that's okay. So that's what they do. They're wearing that. Nobody thinks that they're, you know, right? They don't, unless they're like, "Oh, they look like an Amish person." No, the Strangel's unit. So that's big. That's good. I don't think we have to go to that level. I think that Rav Moshe Feinstein well defines that Chukasim Lo Seilechem is well defined, and we're not anything that we wear. We're not doing because we're goyish. However, not wearing a shirt could be saying that's also Chukasim Lo Seilechem. It's like goyish thing. What are we doing that for? Wearing pants that are like low ride pants, so you could see your under. You know, you see the guy's boxers. So that actually was based on what gangsters do, because that's what they did in jail. In jail, you're not allowed to have a belt because you kill yourself with it. I guess they don't want to kill yourself. And that's not appropriate if you're dressing like that. That's what Chukasim Lo Seilechem. And obviously, the shemitz of avodah zarah, that would be aser. Two topics discussed. Third topic, tzitzis. So tzitzis is also a huge sad point. Right, I'm sorry, I'm quoting Rav Moshe so much. Rav Moshe was asked this question too when it came to the summer. Right, this is a typical question. It's too hot, so on and so forth. So Rav Moshe Feinstein famously has this chiluk. He talks about this when it comes to moving to Eretz Yisrael. There's mitzvos kiyumas and mitzvos chiyugas. Right, some mitzvos you can't wake up in the morning and say, "I'm not feeling it today. Hey, do me a favor, can you put on my tefillin for me?" There's certain mitzvos you can't. You have a chiyuv to do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You have to do it. Right, those are mitzvos. There are obviously dispensations where, you know, it's very important to daven in a minyan. But if COVID regulations tell you you can't, you can't. Somebody asked me today from Eretz Yisrael. He's like, "You're not going to listen to the quarantine regulations. It's ridiculous. Why?" So I said, "Let's be honest. Where am I going anyway?" So I'm going out to daven 3 times a day. So you think the Rabbanu Shalom wants me to violate, as crazy as the law may be, because the law is based on health. So I'm going to do that to go to daven. I can find plenty of minyan and they won't care that I'm davening. What, are you crazy? That doesn't make any sense. So there's mitzvahs chi. Then there's mitzvahs kiyumas. If you do the mitzvah, you talked about aliyah, you get a huge mitzvah. No question about it. But you don't have to do the mitzvah. Interestingly enough, the comparison that's given is, yeah, like tzitzis. What do you mean like tzitzis? Wait a minute. Yes, it's true. We know that the chiyuv is only b'dalat kanfos, right? Pasha shlach. Only if you have a dalat kanfos beggar. We don't have dalat kanfos. We don't live in Mexico where they're wearing ponchos. And there's some things every so often you come with, there was a shiloh now on El Al. They started giving out a new type of blanket. You know what I'm saying? You put it on. So people are asking all these shilas about it. You don't own it. It's not yours. I'm not allowed to take it. Geneva if you take it. So we've accepted upon ourselves. We have this like by my roof. We accept things upon ourselves, and we're saying we're doing this. And if all of Klal Yisrael is doing it, and you're the guy that doesn't do it, you put it together, right? So it's by fast as well. So yeah, so we don't say that we don't follow certain things because. So when it comes to tzitzit conflicts, so what do we say? Halacha is very pshuta, is that we're mechayiv ourselves to do that, like everything else. Are there certain situations where we can? Yeah, it's true. Okay, maybe we don't have to be like the Rambam and say it's only wool. Wools are the only thing to be araisa. Okay, I try to be noig like that on Shabbos, even though it's not very hot outside. Shabbos, I say at least we should fulfill the Rambam's daraisa, right? And the cotton is not daraisa. Okay, but to say that you have a hetter. So if you're playing ball, Rav Moshe feels that you should wear tzitzis. And people incorrectly think that because it's a big day zeya and you're sweaty, so it's not appropriate, it's not covered. I don't think that's a good enough thing. I haven't played basketball much this summer, but I have basketball tzitzis. I have a special pair of tzitzis I wear. They're not as nice. That's my basketball tzitzis. I have this, like, the whole dry fit. But they need to be encouraged. I understand for sports, maybe there's a head turn. Just like, you know, you could tie into that. During the day, you shouldn't even take a shower because you're going to not have your tzitzis on. You're not going to be a mekayim of it. So, okay, but we allow that. A person can do that. But to have a theory that, no, you have to wear tzitzis. That has to be done. I remember in a different camp that I was in, this sounds a little crazy, but obviously as many years ago, in the canteen, this is obviously another camp, not like Camp Masorah, but in the canteen, it was a great opportunity for the, especially, you know, the teens to talk to girls. It was very exciting. So there was one chinuch rabbi, and I remember this from then, so he obviously had a lot of hashpah on me, that used to go around, he wouldn't touch you, and he said, are you wearing tzitzis? And most of the kids are like, what? What are you? He says, if you're not wearing tzitzis, he looked at the girls, he says, to the girls, you don't want this guy. You don't want to talk to a guy that doesn't wear tzitzis. It was very embarrassing, and he did it for a good day. So I was, you know, even though I was in this camp, I said to him, what are you talking about? The pasuk says, Rabbi, what does the pasuk say? I was trying to fight him for the roof, and I said, the pasuk says what? It's big day, it's Lila now. He says, oh, you don't understand. So we know that too. That when Lila comes, doesn't mean you take tzitzis off when you put your pajamas on. There are some situations during COVID. I can tell you this: that during COVID, when you're in your house for so many weeks and months and so on and so forth, you know, some people wear their pajamas all day. So that you would be required to wear tzitzis. But now, let's say a person's davening Ma'ariv at 6 o'clock, you know, back when, you know, you have a 6 o'clock Ma'ariv, you know, it's like, and now you put your pajamas on, that's it, you're done. So I don't know if you have to wear tzitzis then. Because you're wearing big day Lila. You're home the whole rest of the day, I don't know. So that's a different story. That answered it? In 18 minutes or less? Yeah.
Since, like, the Kolal left, since both Kolals left, this room kind of became a little bit hefker. There's been, this past week, different times where there was, like, one girl learning here in the Beis Medrash, someone learning with his wife possibly in the Beis Medrash. There was a night where the whole room was packed with girls. Like, besides, like...
Two nights.
Oh, yeah, two nights?
Yeah, 2 nights.
Besides, like, the, like discomfort that someone might have from such a situation, is there any halakhic issues with learning Torah with girls around?
So first of all, my assumption is, as the Mishnah Berurah Shulchan Aruch writes about, that we unfortunately, and I mean the word unfortunately, are allowed to build shuls and batei midrashos al tanai, that they lack the halachic nature of a mikdash ma. Now you might argue to me why would you want to do that? It's questionable whether or not you can do that in Eretz Yisrael. There are many poskim who say that doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael doesn't allow you to do that. There are some poskim who say that you're allowed to do that. My assumption is that somebody way back when was smart enough to say that the Beis Medrash was created without Kedusha's Beis Medrash. That doesn't help us. What does it help us with? It helps us with things like, I know this sounds strange, but you know, you could have a wedding here now. You're not allowed to have a wedding in a shul. Wedding. Jewish wedding. You're not allowed to have it in a shul. So there are many places that want to have their hall be the place they're going to do the chuppah. So you have to get it out tonight because you're not allowed to have a chuppah there. Furthermore, sorry guys, but Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses, what about the shul meeting, right? You're having the meeting. Some shuls only have one shul. I was in a shul this week, the shul in Syracuse. I think that's allowed. You're allowed to go to the shul and circus. Mm-hmm. They offered a lot of shuls, you know. I can't go to any shuls in Monticello. Right. As long as I'm in Monticello, you can go to Kiryas Yoyim. So, So anyway, so I was there. So their shul was there. That's it. Their shul looked like, I mean, for what it looked like, the shul was one room. It was a shul. They also had, it was a kiddush room. So you're allowed to do that if you build it up tonight. That doesn't, what? No, so that doesn't mean, right. So that doesn't mean that everything's allowed there. Chas v'shalom. That doesn't, I don't think that that means, oh, it's on tonight, so now we could do everything here. No. I've made this point many times, and I back when I talked to Rabbi Dixon about this, the former camp rabbi here. So let's take the greatest example, next door. Next door, I thought, is called the main shul, right? Once in a while, I don't know if you see this, but right by the Aron Kodesh, there is a thing that goes down that shows movies, a screen. So I always, and there's Sifrei Torah in there. So I was always wondering, so I had a situation, I think it was the first year I was here. My wife and I were walking past, and all of a sudden we heard a curse word from the movie. Right, it was a very mundane curse word, apparently, to such a thing. And I was like, and I said to my wife, I can't imagine the Sifrei Torah not hysterically crying now. Like, what are you doing? So, again, so the argument is everything was built here without Kedusha's Beis Knesset. Okay, but the Sifrei Torah here. I have to tell you, I was scared to death. We had an outdoor minyan, and a few times my neighbor had to go away. So my neighbor said, can you store the Torah in the house? And I'm like, I don't want to store a Torah in my house. Wow. Okay, it's a challenge. It sets the level of Kedushas of your home. That's true. You know, there's a tremendous story. I've told this story many times, but it's a good story just to give you the idea. I think this will help with your answer. So there's a story about a family who's having Nebuch, a lot of illnesses in the family. And of course, whenever you have an illness, what's the first thing everybody tells you? Check your mezuzahs, right? They don't say check your mitzvahs, do tshuva, check your mezuzahs, because hopefully it's something that you don't, you know, you control. And they're like, oh my God, you know, in the parsha it said this, and they checked their mezuzahs, everything was great. They don't know what to do. So they decide to go to a very famous Kabbalist. And they go and they visit him, and he says to them, okay, this is a very serious situation. So he starts to think about it, and he says to them, the problem is in your living room. I said, what do you mean? He said, describe your living room. He said, it's a living room. It's got couches. It's got, you know, paintings. It's this. He said, oh, and it has, you know, our 70-inch TV. Nebuch, we couldn't get anything bigger. You know, it's got this big TV. So you would think, you're expecting to say something about TVs. And so you show this something else there? And the husband reminds his wife, oh, my God, I totally forgot. My grandfather passed away a few months ago. And he had a Torah that he smuggled out of the Holocaust. Unfortunately, the Torah is no longer kosher, because it wasn't able to be repaired, but it's there. We have it, you know, I don't know if you've seen some place they have this like open and open. So he says, that's your problem. He says, you can't have a safer Torah open in a room with a big TV. Are you crazy? Crazy, you got to get rid of it. You can't have a TV there. So they're like, thank you very much, Rabbi. Right? They felt so good about themselves and they come home. And a few minutes later, they return to the Rabbi and they say, Rabbi, we want to make a donation. We have this beautiful safer Torah for you, right? It's a joke, but it's not a joke. It's Nebuch. The 78-inch TV was more important to them than the Torah. So I agree. I think that you can't do everything here. Rav Moshe says, yeah, because you're having a meeting for the shul. That's different. But to go ahead and say, first of all, in life, we should try to never make people feel uncomfortable. And if you already got kicked out of the boys' shul, right? And so now this has always been a base medrash. This has always been a makom b'kedusha. I also find it very strange to me that in a camp that has gone down to a quarter of the size, they can't find enough places to have it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I understand why. It's air conditioned. It's nice. And it's over. I don't think so. I spoke to somebody. I'm not going to say his name online, but I spoke to somebody who had that. They had that emergency meeting when there was a medical incident to talk to the girl. So I said to them, well, you'll find that, well, there's no other place. No, there's no other place. There's no other place that's comfortable to you because we like air conditioning. I said, I don't think it should be used here. Again, I'm not, chas v'shalom, I don't have anything against girls learning. But if it's a base medrash, that's not the present. I'll give you the truth. When I first started teaching here, I'm at the whim of the camp. Whenever the camp wants me to teach, I teach. So they asked me to give the Shabbos share, which Baruch Hashem has continued for many years, Shabbos share to staff. Right? So a lot of boys and girls come. Happens to be a lot more girls than boys. So the first year, there was a scheduling conflict. I was giving it in the library, and there was also a chinuch in the library. So we didn't know what to do. So they came, the head, whatever, and she said to me, oh, just give in the kolo. There's nobody in the kolo now, because they were anyway going to Rav Goldvich's 5:30 thing. So I gave him the kola, and Rav Goldberg found out, and he was very upset because he heard there were girls in the kola. And he said, this is the Beit HaBeis Medrash. I understood what he was saying. He's got his own rules. Again, that's why generally it's interesting. Even if we're not davening, especially in a shul, there should be separate seating. Should be. I know that any wedding I've ever been at where a golch is there, he tries the heart. He says, please tell the women and men to sit on a different side. Not because you need a mechitza, not because certain things we try to do. So that wouldn't be appropriate. And to do any other thing in there, despite everything that I said, that yes, this was built out of Sinai, that it's not appropriate with Sifri Torah. With Sifri Torah. It's not something. It doesn't mean a husband and wife can't learn together. It doesn't mean that. But if it makes people uncomfortable, you know, I don't think so. The same way, this is a very controversial one I'm about to say, but I don't care. You know, there are some people who are against saying, you know, between Mincha Ma'ariv, you know, we're going to have a shir from Mrs. So and So. I could appreciate the fact that not all men are into that. They don't want to hear something wrong with it. They're allowed to give shirim. It's beautiful, amazing. How they've, you know, have some of these amazing women there. Excuse me for saying, but some of their thoughts are much better than most, you know, a lot of rabbis. I'm not against it. But I can see if somebody's going to be uncomfortable, so we don't do things. We should make people feel a little uncomfortable. That's what I think. Yeah.
You know, I can get a spear.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your turn. Yeah.
I should have asked this at the beginning of the summer, but there's a halacha that you're not supposed to walk behind women. What are you supposed to do when there's women everywhere?
So I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things that are written in, like, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and we wonder whether or not. It's interesting. People don't know this, but the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Gansfried, Gain Adir, and people don't even know his other Sfarim. He wrote amazing stuff, other things. He was a Hungarian Rav, and he was very machmir. He was known to be machmir. He was the one, a force behind having these letters signed against different gatherings and things like that. It was amazing. Don't dismiss. But some things that we've modified, you know, when it comes to, you know, that you shouldn't walk between two women, you know, when it, yeah. But again, I think mitzat snias, it's a very good idea to never ever walk behind them. You shouldn't have to have a yetzahara to look at them, look behind them. That's true. But when a person's in a crowded situation, as Rav Moshe, we did this year on the subways and stuff, so you're allowed to be behind. Kal v'chomer if you're bumping into them, and Rav Moshe said it was okay. So some situations you can't control. But chachila, if a person could get around that and so on, so yeah, sure, you should get out around that situation. But I don't think it's such a situation where you're in Shas HaTachak, and this year, you know, all of a sudden, like this morning, there's like nobody on the road, and then finally, I was talking to Ari Katz, and then finally I was ready to go, and you know, like with the bicycle, and all of a sudden, all of girls' campus started coming to breakfast. So I'm like, well, I'm not going anywhere now. I can't get my bike. So you wait. So you're not going to have the first, what is it today? Pizza, kebab, potato knishes, whatever they're going to serve today. Cheese case of you, so you don't know. You got to know these things. Very important. So I don't know. Listen, I think mitzad halacha, mitzad hashkafa, it's something that our door has to be very, very careful of. I think that the lack of snias in this world, I mean, the lack of personal snias, that we don't care anymore. There's nothing that's not, you know, spoken about. That's why I think that the laws of mikveh, nida, and this and that, those are the last things that are private and kept between husband and wife. It's an amazing thing. But, every year, hopefully this year we'll start again. Last year we didn't have it. So I become a trip director for an organization called Momentum, formerly JWRP. And I go with Charlie Harari to Eretz Yisrael. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. And he brings 300-400 people who have never been to Eretz Yisrael, but 50-year-old men. And the first stop, we actually, one of the first stops in the morning, we go to Sfas, and in Sfat we go to the mikveh, the Breslau mikveh, before the Arizal mikveh. And most of these people have no idea what mikveh is. They don't know what we're talking about. Now, it happens to be a perfect place to go. The Breslau mikveh is like a spa. It's beautiful, so on and so forth. So the women, it's very hard for them. Lori Platnick, who heads the organization, and Mrs. Mervitz, they speak about mikveh and the holiness of the holy place. And then every so often, they're like, does anybody have anything they want to say? They want to, whatever. And usually I raise my hand. I said, I just want to point something out for someone who keeps these laws. I said, it's something to think about, that this is the last thing we have in life that's modest. Modesty left the building. I said, these are modest laws. This is something that you have. It's just you and your wife that know about it. It's a very, very special, very miyucha. So Why? Because there's such a Yetzer Hara now. No, people don't care about sexuality. It's something that, so yeah, it is important that we still, on our own level, try to keep it, especially if you're in a situation where you know that the girls are not dressed the most appropriate way that they should be, and you can protect yourself against this. I think it's very appropriate. I would answer the same thing when it comes to girls. If a girl would say to me, you know, should I try, you know, not to, whatever, walk up the steps when I know guys are on me? Yeah, I think also that's a good idea. Also, yeah. That's what I would say. Yeah. Anybody else? Anything else?
He's got a little bit of chazara from two.
That means I'll know the answer.
2-3 weeks ago, when
I won't have to make it up like the other questions.
The casual touching.
Yeah.
Cheer.
Yeah.
So yesterday I was in the ice cream place with somebody. And
Hoppies.
Hoppies.
We've got to give a shout. Want to give a shout out to Hoppies.
I don't know if we're trying to keep it.
Deli sandwiches. Yes.
Is that this?
Yeah.
And then the people there, they gave us free milkshakes. That was very nice.
I wasn't there.
Why?
I wasn't there either.
Why?
Because we were talking about that. Very nice. And then the girl behind the counter, she goes, yeah, so have a good summer. Like this.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Pissed out.
Good
and
question.
The person I was with was like, he like froze, and then he was just like, and he's like, puts his hand, and then she brought it in,
right,
and
right.
Finished it off.
Good, good, good question.
So
it's funny. I've been getting more questions during COVID Dafka. It sounds strange that everybody stopped shaking hands. No one was shaking hands anymore. That's like disgusting. That's going to give you COVID for sure, especially if you do it in Monticello. And the fist pump became popular. It used to be this was very popular, this thing, and you know, with the elbow. But the fist pump became very, very popular now. Now it became like a new thing, which is so interesting that it became, because as we pointed out, in society now, because of such how careful we have to be, and we don't have to look further than the defunct governor, who was defunct already years ago, but we just didn't realize it, who resigned because of sexual immorality, that this is something we have to be very, very careful for. Besides this year, we gave on Yichud, and we have to keep those laws. But I think here, so that's a good question. Again, going according to the Shita, and almost like a Kal V'Chomer, because I would say shaking the hands is even more intimate than touch. We don't allow any sort of regia. Clearly, we always have to quote the Rambam and say that the Rambam says that any sort of chibuk v'nishuk that's l'shem, Pritzos is 100% in Issa Daraisa. He's the strictest view. He said he calls it in Issa Daraisa, and he says even looking at the Esma Ketan of a woman is considered to be in Issa Daraisa, right? If you're doing it for Hana reasons, 100% Issa Daraisa. Going back to your question, and therefore Dafka being behind a girl, Dafka for that reason to see her. That's 100% in Issa Daraisa going to Rabbah. Many other the Rishonim do not understand the Rambam how he learns that out from the pasuk of Yishesh called Beser Besaro, but okay. So I would say, just like the same question, if we just back it up for a second, where someone asked me, they said, okay, you know, you're saying that in certain situations, shaking the hand is mutter, what about, you know, a casual kiss? And this is something that I'm shockingly can tell you, this is something, at least my parents' generation, is very popular. Husband and wives, they other people's husband and wife, hey, how you doing? And they kiss them. And then when I, you know, when and this was a comment in our house, once my mother, my parents went, great, like, this, you don't understand, this is something, okay. There are certain levels that we say, okay, ad kan v'lo yoder, like handshake is as far as I'm going to go. I'm never going to allow a hug. I'm never going to allow a brief, fun massage. Or no. So a kid asked me, a Shiloh, a Talmud of mine said at work, there's this girl that comes over to people and just goes like this for a few seconds. It's like, that's mutter, right? Because the handshakes are. I'm like, no, never. Yes, and sometimes we have to be embarrassing. Even though we quoted Rav Chaim Berlin, who said that when it comes to it, they shouldn't shiv al tachshov that we're mishugayim. So this would be a case where I think that I would quote Rav Chaim, you know, and Rav Aaron Salvage. Because there are certain times where there's going to be such an embarrassment. I think what this person did was perfect because he didn't even do anything. He just went like this, and she, like, you know, she just thought the guy was an idiot that doesn't know how to do it. So I just kept my hand here, and you touched my hand. I didn't do anything. However, if the person's, you know, whatever, 20 years old, and he's like, oh my God, she's gorgeous, and, you know, he's going to be like, I can't believe it. Here, Rebbe, I have a picture of it. No? So then, in a harami, then it would be problematic. I told the story probably many, many years ago as well. I don't think I told this story to you guys. So I have a friend who was on the flight with one of Israel's top supermodels, and Bar Rafaeli. And he calls me, and he's like, hi, how you doing? I'm like, why are you whispering? He's like, I'm sitting next to Bar Rafaeli. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. So he told me he did not sleep the whole flight, even though he was in business class. And in business class, there's no way you could. He said the whole flight I was scared because why? I said hello to her. I started talking to her. And as we were in the middle of our conversation, this guy who clearly knew her was talking to her. I'm like, who's that? He's like, oh, that's my security guard. So he said, oh, I feel bad. He says, do you want to sit next to her? And I'll sit in back of her. He's like, no, I need to sit back of her because I have to watch people like you from not bothering, whatever. So he told me he was so scared he's going to like touch her the whole flight. This guy's going to shoot him or something. And but in that case, one could argue that if she, you know, stuck her hand down and a person says, oh my God, she's an Israel international supermodel, I'm going to call my wife afterwards and tell her I had an affair, you know, because I touched Barbara. So that a person maybe has to be more careful with. But I don't think that would be any violation. It's a good question because it's coming up a lot more. I would never initiate it. But if it was initiated already, I think you would have the same hazard of shaking hands and probably potentially even less. Again, that being said, we quoted the Chazon Ish. They said, Rav Sternbach quoted the Chazon Ish and said that it's an Issa Daraisa of a Bizrael, like a Bizrael Vodazara, it's the Gilui Arayas, a Bizrael Gilui Arayas, Yorik Val Yavar. You wouldn't be able to do it. Okay, good. But that's, I don't think, the normative sheet on that. I don't think so. Yeah. So I'll just, if you don't mind, I'll throw out one question because yesterday was a trip day. So I was very happy to hear my son told me, I only spoke to one of my kids. So first he said, I got scared. Started off by saying something very impressive. He said, the first thing we did on the trip was we went to a movie and they told us that the popcorn is not kosher. I love that, right? They may have lied to them, but they said the popcorn was kosher. As opposed to a few years ago, where we got a text from, we have these WhatsApp chats, and the division had said, I'm so happy to report that the popcorn is under the OU, so all the kids could get. So, me being a mean person, I texted them. I said, please don't say that it's under the OU, because it's not. You checked the packaging and it was under the OU, but that's not fair to a kid like mine, who we don't eat popcorn in the theater. So now I'll say it's under the OU. There's no letter from the OU saying we inspect this all the time. I said it's not fair. In this case, even though it may have been 100% kosher, he said it's not kosher. I mean, by kids hear the word not kosher, generally they're like, oh, it's not kosher. Okay, yeah, you know. It's a famous story in Lakewood. There was a black woman waiting online, her kids screaming like anything. And this was like the worst thing. A few weeks ago, I was at Walmart, and there was a kid screaming. It was just the father. The father's like, he's looking at everybody. He's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. The kid's crying. And what was the kid crying about? I want to talk about it. And the kid's crying. And she doesn't know what to do. What is she going to do? And some liquid. And she turns to the kid. She goes, you can't have the chocolate bar. It's not kosher. And the kid starts crying. So the woman had to say something next to the firm woman's like, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Why did you think that would quiet your kid? She's like, I see it here all the time. She says, there are kids who are crying that look like you, Lakewood people. And you just look at them and say, you can't have the chocolate bar, it's not kosher. And they stop crying. They're like, oh, not kosher. I'm not going to cry about that. You know, amazing. Baruch Hashem. So that was the first part of the trip. And then my son says, oh, and then we went to the bowling alley and I got French fries. I'm like, oh my God, no. How can you get French fries? I go, oh, no. I'm trying to figure out where they went that wasn't in Monticello. But they said it was a kosher, I think Kai Michelin, was something like yes. That. Right? But how can they have gone? I don't know. I guess they rented out the whole thing. Whatever. I don't know. But it's kosher. Right? So I was like, whatever.
Crazy Monticello.
So the Shaila is, right, it's on the outskirts, okay? So the Shaila would be, what would be the big deal? What would be the big deal if this didn't happen? But what would be the big deal on a day off if what's the big deal? Why can't you have French fries? That would be the question. And this comes up to the same thing. What about Dunkin' Donuts? Why can't you have Dunkin' Donuts? It's all the same, everybody else. And it happens to be true. You go to most of the Dunkin' Donuts places, if you open the box, you'll find that if you look at the box that we actually had it the first day of camp, they had hash browns, and the hash browns said on it, Dunkin' Donuts, it was Dunkin' Donuts hash browns, with an OU on it. So what's the big deal? I don't want to say the word, what's the big deal? There's always a big deal. And the answer is a few things. One, I'm not talking about kashrus now. Kashrus, 100%, there are major, major issues. And I don't have to go any further than the McDonald's multi-million dollar lawsuit. McDonald's, for years and years, advertised their French fries as vegan French fries, which means it's made with oil. So a lot of people, and specifically, I'm not joking now, the rabbis of the conservative world who want their constituents to eat kosher said you could eat at McDonald's French fries because they're vegan, McDonald's said. And there was a guy who wasn't vegan, but he wasn't allowed to have any animal derivative. He had some sort of very strange allergy. And he started getting sick. So they tested it, and they found that there was animal derivatives. There was tarfus in the, and they did a test, and McDonald's admitted that they made a mistake. And in fact, their oil that they were getting had in it whatever chazer, whatever it was. So they were sued. Interestingly enough, they agreed to the millions and millions of dollars. It did not go to actual people. It went to kashrus organizations to better explain to people what kosher is, halal organizations, v'chulu v'chulu, and vegan organizations. So we know that for sure. So I'm not talking about the ingredients. Let's say I see the ingredients is totally kosher. What would be the potential problem? So one huge problem, which people don't think about, I actually just had this discussion with someone who was wondering about this, and that's the issur of bishul akum. Bishul akum and pas akum are very, very different issurim. We are generally more mekel when it comes to pas, because the Gemara says, used to be, this is totally not true today, but a person can't live without bread. Nowadays, it's like the worst thing you could have. When we have events and we have a barbecue, so it's a hard thing. If I'm buying 500 hot dogs and hamburgers, you would think I need 500 buns. No way. 250? You don't even 250. Most people, first of all, most people double up on the hamburger. But most people, bread's like usher now. Oh, gluten. I'm on a gluten-free diet. You know, like that's going to solve the world's thing. And I have a diet coke. So, I don't know. So, if that's really... The Gemara is the Gemara. So let's just start with Bishul Akum. There are two major heterim for Bishul Akum, which are very important heterim, and that's lo omed al shulchan malachim, that it's a food that you wouldn't serve, I'll give Rav Moshe's interpretation, at a state meal, something that's not fancy enough for that. So that you could even eat if it's cooked by a non-Jew. And the second heter is nechel kmo shulchan. I could eat it normally, carrots. I could eat a raw carrot. So now my housekeeper made cooked carrots. That would be fine. That would not be violent. Again, what's Bishul Akum? Mishum Chasnus. They're going to make something so fancy, dancy, delicious, and I'm going to eat it and say, wow, this is amazing. Do you have a daughter I can marry? Okay, far-fetched, you could say. Unfortunately, this is not something that's so far-fetched, I'm sorry to say. Especially when it comes to Yayin. I have stories about it, but not for now. So, nu was the answer. The answer is, so now let's look at some foods. Let's look at some foods. This is a big Shiloh. I just had an event 2 weeks ago that was Pas Yisrael only. Bishul Yisrael, of course, so on and so forth. So we have a wonderful, amazing mashgiach, but it was a very Haredi group, mostly from Lakewood and stuff. So he sees that we have bags of Wise chips. So it happens to be that Wise is not Bishul, right? It's not, I'll tell you why it's not Bishul Akum, because they hold that when it comes to potato chips, that's not something that's Omed al Shulchan Malachim. Nobody serves potato chips at a state event. That's ridiculous, right? See, even though I heard a story, I was in the governor's mansion. They had, no. Or you know, this was blown out of the water with Trump. Trump loves all this food. Doesn't matter. It's generally not served, even though he did serve like one time McDonald's at a state meal or something. But I don't think it goes by that. So is that considered to be Bishul Yisrael according to this heter? Question is, do we use the heter? Similarly, we're talking about Yichud, and we said the machloek is between Rashi and Tosfos. Do we say that it's just a heter and you shouldn't use it normally? You know what this means? This means that there's no Jew present who turns the fire on. We're Ashkenazim are very mekel. Sfarim have a huge problem with Bishul Akum because the halacha for Sfarim, based on the Shulchan Aruch, the Maran says that you have to be involved in the cooking process. So this happens in Eretz Yisrael a lot, where Sfarim get upset. Sometimes you'll see a sign. Now you don't understand what the sign means. Bishul Yisrael, a feel of, even for the Sfarim. Like, whoa, what's so special about the Sfarim? Because they go to Slichos, Tonello? No, it's because they're more Machmir. So as long as the Jew turns out. Now, it happens to be that in these wonderful things, there's a heter, a huge heter that was created by the Chufke. They went to Rav Yashiv, and they showed him a new item called a star glow stick. A glow stick is an item that increases the heat of any oven. It's either an item that's usually installed, and it's like a little thing you install in an oven, and the Jew presses the button, and it's there forever. And if the oven was, I'm just making it up, 350 degrees, now it's 351. So why is that not mutter? That's maybe even better than throwing in the match in or the bile light. So the OU Paiskim, I'm assuming that's Rav Shechter, says that this is not good. So we just had a number of weeks ago at this event, bread bagels that came past Yisrael under the star K, and the OU said, nope, you have to use it for something else. Go order new bagels. You're not allowed to serve these bagels. This is not called past Yisrael in accordance with the OU. I was very upset about this, but not for now. So those would be the things. What about Omer Kamo Shulchai? So this is an argument I once had with somebody. This happens sometimes on Pesach programs especially. You know, you have to make your own omelets. Chas v'shalom, you should, you know, have to eat eggs that were made for somebody else. So you wait online, and they have these little mini, stovetops, you know, with the Bunsen burner or whatever. So what happens when it goes out? So a lot of times the guy will light it himself. So I went to the mashgiach and I said to him, what the heck's going on here? There's like 8 stations. And I see them turn, it's bishlach amamish. He says to me, no, it's eggs. He goes, you don't understand the halacha. So I looked at him and like, nechuch moshu uchai. He's like, oh, so you do know the halacha. I go, we don't eat eggs raw. He goes, no, I once saw the Rocky, you know. Rocky, right? He takes it and eats it. And shows. It doesn't matter. That's not, we don't go. The chazanim sometimes, they say, you know, before the good Rosh Hashanah David, they crack an egg. That's not normal people, right? Nechuch moshu doesn't go that way. Rabbi Selesky once told the story about somebody asked about pasta. So he was in Stern. He used to give a shiur in Stern. So he says, huh? Nobody eats pasta raw. And the girl's like, or like this. He goes, raise your hand if you eat pasta raw in half the room. They go, during finals, we take a box of pasta. Don't go out with these girls. Right, Stern College. And we eat it raw. So he says, we don't define nechuk mushukai based on crazy, you know, people. It's not the normal thing. So all these things, you can't have a guy cook pasta. Again, unless you turn the oven on and so on and so forth. This is a major issue when it comes to people who have housekeepers. They have to turn the fire on or maybe put a yurtzeit candle on the light from the yurtzeit candle. There are different attire. You have to speak to your local rav about this. But they're two very, very important things. And that's why, I have to go back to this very interesting Shaila, an amazing share I once heard. This Rabbi Selesky is godless, because he could take one little thing and make it into the most amazing share. So he says like this. He talked about, I once gave a share based on this. The share was called The Many Problems of Dunkin' Donuts, where we discussed, you know, every potential issue you could have in a Dunkin'. I'm talking about kosher Dunkin' Donuts, right? So we discussed Pasakam, Bishlakam, so on and so forth. So here's the major Shaila. What about donuts themselves? So I'm not talking about fake donuts. What's fake donuts? Fake donuts are Entenmann's donuts. Those aren't donuts, right? They're cake. They're not donuts. I'm talking about a real donut. So a real Krispy Kreme donut. There's one on Route 4. So I went in there with my kids on the first day we arrived, and they actually show you how the donuts are made. It's very cool. So as we know, donuts are not baked. They're fried. They're fried. That's why they taste so good. They're just real. If you ever see around Hanukkah time, right? Everybody's fried. Good. So fried is bishul. So different poiskim hold different things. Different, I should say, poiskim. Different kashrus organizations. So the question is, if it's bishul and not pas, we would be makil. And we would say that by pas, so that he doesn't have to turn it. It's not going to be pas Yisrael. Our intimates cookies are not pas Yisrael. A lot of people eat it. Even though that obviously Aseres Mechuvah, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should be machmir. Not everybody's machmir. So the Mishnah Berurah says it should be machmir. So what's the problem with Dunkin' Donuts? You're going to tell me what? Why would it be mutter? Pasha, why it's not, would it be mutter? You don't serve it at a state event. No one serves it in there. So Rabbi Selesky is like, I thought that was a very good heter. So apparently the one in Tinek, which is under Rabbi Teitz, so he says, I don't know what to say. Maybe I can't eat it. So on so besides Chov Yisrael, again, assuming everything else is okay with you. So he says, and then my friend told me a terrible story. He says, my friend was invited to the White House for the Hanukkah thing. They lit candles on Obama's night. They lit candles on and so forth. And then they had a big eating fest afterwards. Kosher, right? They always have these great, you know, they have an interview with the kosher organization that has to make it kosher. Because guess what they served? Donuts. So so it's not called a state dinner. I'm not sure what to say to that. He wasn't sure either. He says, and then I called Rabbi Teitz. And Rabbi Teitz told me, no, the Jew lights the fire in the morning. So he's like, oh, thank God. The reason why we shouldn't think, you know, any ill of these things, some of these places open up at like 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning to bake. It's hard to have a rabbi. And for example, I heard this from Rabbi Zev Leff. Rabbi Leff was a rabbi in Miami for many years. So he says he got a call from the OU. They're making a bread place kosher. So he gives him all the things that he has to do. And he says, in one thing, tell them if they could shut off the ovens and turn them back on. And this way, at least, we're not going to call it Pas Yisrael, but we know that it's Pas Yisrael. So he does all the things, and they change ingredients, v'chul, and he says, can we shut it off? And they started laughing at him. He said, what are you laughing at me? They said, for 25 years, these ovens have not been shut ever. Saturday, Sunday, they're kept. We're afraid if we shut it down, it won't turn back on. So that was the, that's this. I think that's an important thing when kids go on trips, and they think, oh, what could be so bad? Just start with Bishul Akam. Bishul Akam is a huge, it could be a huge problem, and that's why it wouldn't be a mutter. Even if you're a makel on Pas Akam. Spalter is really what we call it. Anything else before you have to? I know you have to go probably if you set up lunch. Anything else? Okay, Yishkoyach.